Today on Compassion Radio.
Here it is, it's dark and all this stuff, and you're out here doing this crazy job, and you don't even have a flashlight. That was a big shock to me. They didn't have handcuffs. They didn't have anything that we would normally have here in America. I told them, okay, you know, you have to be careful when you go to a lot of places. You don't promise things that you can't keep.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. You know, so many of us are completely unaware of the incredible pressure that our law enforcement officers face on a daily basis. Many of them see more human tragedy in a week than most of us will see in a lifetime. Today on Compassion Radio, Bram talks with Eric and Kim Bauer, the founders of Shield of Hope, a ministry that seeks to be a light to police officers in the communities they serve both here and internationally. You're going to love this very open and honest dialogue with this dynamic husband and wife team. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part three of that conversation.
So you're going to places that are developing in the high mountains of Honduras. And you expect to be ministering to kids, and you did. You probably fell in love with 1,000 of them because you're that kind of daddy. But it didn't stop with the kids in the kids' camps. What happened?
We were at several different small churches. We had prayed over kids that had illnesses or injuries. Here in the U.S., if you're sick or whatnot, most people could just easily go to the nearest hospital or doctor's office and get treatment. But over there, it's just not how it works. Yeah. And so there's a lot of things that children get over there that there's no medicine, not even something as simple as Tylenol or Advil. Just an opportunity to be able to pray over these kids. I really had a heart for them. I remember one instance, most of the churches there are in someone's home. Mm-hmm. They don't have extravagant buildings with air conditioning. One particular church we visited had dirt floors, no windows, one light bulb in the middle to be able to see at night. Definitely a different way of seeing people just truly worship God. They didn't need the things that we have here to be able to do that. In one of those instances, kids were just taking what looked like a dog bowl and using that to scoop water out from this concrete basin. And they told us, do not drink that water. If you drink that water, you're going to get very sick. And so I thought, well, do I deserve to have good, clean drinking water? And they don't, just because I happen to live in the United States and they happen to live in Honduras. And so that was something that really stuck with me. The children, there were no gender-specific clothing. Mm-hmm. It was, if it was a shirt and it semi-fit, then you wore it. If it was a pair of shoes and they semi-fit, then you wore it. That was how it was. The Lord was just kind of pulling on my heart with them. How could we get them clothing or shoes or those sorts of things?
Eric comes back from this incredible trip. His heart's been stirred, realizing that he's got to do something about these kids. What did you think when they came home?
There was a real excitement. I knew that God was up to something. I didn't know what. And Eric had a real hunger to go back. That's just what he wanted to do. And he didn't want, after being through that experience and getting a taste of missions, to not come back and be used by the Lord. There was no excuse.
So you become mission focused and looking for needs around you. When you see them, you say, I'm the guy. God, use me. So what happened next?
So I came home. A lot of amazing things happened on that trip, kind of thinking about it as we're talking, how it was so evident that God was there. You know, it's not that God's not here as well, but I just saw it in a different way, in a very powerful way. That following June, in June of 2014, several of our pastors were going back to Honduras to do a pastor's training for the pastors down there that they're involved in a ministry with. And so I knew that the Lord was calling me there. I didn't know how was this going to happen logistically, realistically, practically, how is this going to work? I asked the pastor, I said, hey, I don't want to be a third wheel and I'm not a pastor, so I'm not going there for that. But I really want to go and see how this could work. The first time I went, I met an awesome man by the name of Israel. And Israel's got an amazing testimony. He used to be in the U.S. and he used to run drugs for the cartels. And it finally caught up with him. And he spent about 9 years in a federal prison in Pennsylvania. And the only thing he had while he was there in solitary was a Bible. And that's where he found the Lord. So when he got out, he was sent back to Honduras and he started evangelizing.
As I recall, he was also basically extradited back to Honduras and said, don't ever come back.
Correct. Yeah. He started evangelizing. He got married, started having kids and things like that. It was interesting getting to talk to him because here you have this guy who would normally otherwise hate law enforcement.
Yeah.
Then you have this officer who's there. And I remember when he would introduce me to people, he would tell them that I was the one that arrested him.
And so he's a creative liar too.
Right. So we would laugh about that. When I came back in June, he said, "Eric, you need to talk to the police officers here." And I thought, okay. He said, "They struggle a lot." He said, "There's a lot of corruption here." And of course, I had already told him my testimony. And he had said, "I really think you should talk to the police officers." I had no intentions of going there to do that. It never even crossed my mind to be able to speak to them in any form or fashion. And so when he told me about that, I was open to it.
Because you're there.
Right.
God's working on your heart too, to say, "Give me opportunities." And he's giving them to you. Now, here's Eric in this country. And I'm sensing you're looking up to this old drug runner. And you see in him something that Jesus is doing that only Jesus can do. And you're admiring that in a lot of ways. And so when this old drug runner who's been thrown out of the country says to you, "Eric, you need to share Jesus with other police officers," this to me shows that God is really moving on you to follow his leading, because he's leading in ways that would not be normal or expected. So Israel got you in front of some of these police officers. And what happened?
We had just gotten back to Israel's house down from the mountains. And it was nighttime. It gets dark pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I remember it was raining. Israel said, "Hey, I called one of the lieutenants that I know, and he said that he could send some of his officers over here." So I said, okay. At that point, you know, I just said, "Lord, I've got no clue what I'm doing. I have no idea what it is that I'm supposed to tell these officers, but I just prayed that the Spirit would give me the words, that it would be, you know, Christ speaking through me and not me speaking to them."
It's a good thing you're tapping into one of God's promises there, that he promised that he would do that very thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the other important thing to mention is that I don't speak fluent Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, Israel was translating. These three officers show up. It was a sergeant and a female officer and then another officer. They come into Israel's home. And I remember we were sitting in their kitchen. I'm basically facing them, sitting down on a stool, and they're standing in front of me. And there's three of them in front of me. Israel's next to me. You know, I just start telling them a little bit about my testimony. As I kind of mentioned earlier, the first several years in law enforcement, I got into that place to where I just hated people. Didn't want to be around people. Officers just start kind of hanging around other officers. And then even when they're not at work, they're talking about work. And the whole lifestyle, everything changes. Where you sit at a restaurant, how you interact with people and things like that. So I started talking to these officers, telling my testimony. And what I started to quickly realize is that despite the fact that we didn't speak the same language, our cultures were completely different, and we lived in different countries, they actually go through the exact same types of things that we go through. And that was important, because then I realized that if they feel the way that I felt, then that means officers in Germany and Romania and all over the world are in the exact same boat.
And they're seeing the same human struggle and the fruit of sin.
Right.
Which makes us truly united in our nature. We realize that God is so needed everywhere you go.
Right. I'd spoken to them about corruption. You know, in Honduras, that's a very common thing. It's not a big deal. 10 out of 10 officers in Honduras, if they stop someone and the person that they stop offers them money, they're going to take it. They justify it by saying, "Well, you know, I don't make any money and I have a family to feed."
Yeah.
You know, just from a survival standpoint, I can certainly understand where they're coming from. But what I explained to them is that if you put your hope and your faith in Christ, he will provide for you in ways that you could never imagine. And you don't need to take that money.
It's a bold statement from some rich American.
And it's funny that you say that, because I didn't find this out till later, but apparently Israel was sweating when he was telling these officers some of the stuff that I was
I'll bet.
That I was saying, because I was being very bold, you know, and I didn't know them from anyone else. I had no idea if they were a good officer or a bad officer. I'm in their country. I have no rights or protections or anything like that. It was definitely the Lord speaking through me to them. And so I explained, like I was saying, about the corruption and how that affects the community. Over there, the majority of the crime on certain levels is the police officers doing it, breaking into homes, stealing things from people. And so if someone were to break into someone's home in the mountains in Honduras, they're not likely to call the police, because the majority of the time it was the police that did it. That's an extreme fracture between the public and law enforcement. And of course, here in America, you know, there's a lot of talk about police distrust and things like that. But when you go to a place like Honduras, you see what that really is.
There's no fetters. Nothing stopping that from
correct
blossoming into all of its evil fruit. So
correct. They have no idea how to interact with the people there. It was just an amazing opportunity. I spoke with them, I would say, probably for about maybe an hour and a half.
Three local officers that Israel knew from the local area.
Correct.
Okay, here's your laboratory. What happened with those three?
So I had asked them, you know, "What are your needs?" They told me, "We need flashlights." And I thought to myself, here it is, it's dark and all this stuff, and you're out here doing this crazy job. and you don't even have a flashlight. That was a big shock to me. They didn't have handcuffs. They didn't have anything that we would normally have here in America. I told them, okay, you know, you have to be careful when you go to a lot of places. You don't promise things that you can't keep. I told them I will do my best to try to get them flashlights. And another thing they asked for was boots. And so I said, okay, I'll do my best. The next morning we had left Israel's house, traveled a few hours away, and we had gone to where the pastors were going to be doing their pastor training. I'll never forget, I was sitting down with the other pastors from our church, and Israel came up from behind, and he just kind of touched my shoulders, and he said, "Brother Eric, that sergeant that was there last night called me crying and said that he wanted to come to Christ."
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient, just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry, and check out all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature cottages, a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-868-2478, CompassionRadio.com, or P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, for your willingness to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Here it is, it's dark and all this stuff, and you're out here doing this crazy job, and you don't even have a flashlight. That was a big shock to me. They didn't have handcuffs. They didn't have anything that we would normally have here in America. I told them, okay, you know, you have to be careful when you go to a lot of places. You don't promise things that you can't keep. I told them I will do my best to try to get them flashlights. And another thing they asked for was boots. And so I said, okay, I'll do my best. The next morning we had left Israel's house, traveled a few hours away, and we had gone to where the pastors were going to be doing their pastor training. I'll never forget, I was sitting down with the other pastors from our church, and Israel came up from behind, and he just kind of touched my shoulders, and he said, "Brother Eric, that sergeant that was there last night called me crying and said that he wanted to come to Christ." And so that was the pivotal point to where it was just extremely clear why God had brought me to Honduras. There was no doubts. There was no, I'm not really sure if this is what the Lord wants me to do. It was awesome because I would go back again in December, 6 months later, with lights and boots. And I got to talk to that Sergeant Rodriguez. And he had said when I had first met him back in June that he was not a very good person. He was abusive towards his wife and his kids, as kids didn't want to be around him, drank a lot, struggled with other stuff. At that point, he said he had given his life to Christ. 6 months fast forward, he had said that his marriage was doing awesome. His kids loved being around him. He stopped drinking. He started going to church. So it wasn't just someone saying, "I want to come to Christ." It was someone who came to Christ and then their life was transformed.
The repentance began.
Absolutely.
God, through your testimony, through your willingness to say yes and be available, changed the trajectory of a number of lives already.
Absolutely.
And this wasn't even a thought out or planned ministry on your part. You just said yes.
Right.
Okay. Eric, let's flash forward again a few more of these trips and a few more opportunities. The ministry that has become Shield of Hope is beginning to grow in your mind and heart and beginning to take shape. And you're getting more opportunities to bring more gifts police officers really need in third world countries. You're beginning to work your way up the feeding chain here, and you're beginning to talk to people of more influence and authority in this country. But it's not an easy path. I know you have many back and forths and missed opportunities or strange meetings that didn't happen and other ones that did. Give me an example of what came of all this early work. You ended up in places where you had like almost instant revivals. The Spirit came and just sat on that room and spoke through you and your partner, another detective here in Austin named Chris Beeland. And it came to a whole new level. Tell me about those experiences.
I would say one of the most credible experiences, aside from that first time, was this past August. I had met Chris Beeland, who's with the Austin Police Department as well. I'd never known him, but I knew other people who knew him and who knew me. And they always said, you need to talk to this guy. You guys have a lot in common. And so one day we met at his house for a men's study and got to know each other a little bit. And I had always prayed when the Lord had started all of this that he would bring another officer to come alongside of me in this. Never knew who that was going to be. I felt pretty clear that over time that person was Christopher. And so I invited him over to my house to tell him about the ministry, to tell him about my testimony and how all this got started. And he said, well, you're the second or third person that's asked me about Honduras, so I guess I'm going to Honduras. You know, I told him right off the bat that things in Honduras work differently. You know, there's no schedules. You don't make appointments online. It just doesn't work that way. And so I said, what you do is you buy a plane ticket and you go in faith and you let God take care of the rest. Mm. So he did that. He took that step out of, you know, being unsure, not quite understanding what was going to happen. And we had an opportunity to speak with the head police chief for the Honduran National Police. And there's around 17,000 of them.
Analogous to our Highway Patrol and FBI and those kind of officers?
They would be our version of U.S. Marshals.
Okay.
Because they're over the whole country, essentially their only form of civil law enforcement. And then they have military. That's pretty much it. We were going to go to the capital, Tegucigalpa. From there, we were going to go to the island of Roatan to speak to a female officer who had been telling Israel that she wanted to have an opportunity to meet with us. But of course, we always just pray, Lord, we're going to meet who you want us to meet mm-hmm. in your timing, but we're just going to go. So there was a lot of things that weren't ironed out. We didn't know where we were going to stay in Roatan. We didn't know if we were going to be able to get a flight to there because it's one of those deals where you, for the most part, have to get to Honduras first and then book the flight. So we got up early that morning and there was a lady, her name was Lisa. She is the director for HALA, which is Honduran Abundant Life Association, which is run by a gentleman named Dave Dashner, who lives in the U.S. and also lives in Roatan. We had an opportunity to meet with him and tell him about our ministry. Lisa lives full-time in Roatan. And so we had thought, well, maybe that could possibly be a resource for us over there, but we weren't sure of any of that. She had emailed me when we had gotten to San Pedro Sula and said, I can be at the airport to pick you guys up in Roatan if you need. And so we were all pretty excited about that. So we get up really early. We drive to Tegucigalpa. It's 4.5 hours away. We get there, we find the police station, and Israel goes inside to see if the police chief is ready to speak to us, and he's not there. He's back in San Pedro Sula, where we just left, because there was a prison riot and some officers had been killed.
So your best laid plans were to deal with the national police in the capital and also get to Roatan all in the same trip.
Within 5 days.
Right. Very condensed time. Of course, we're on schedule to get back to the States. You've got a job here, and now all of it's gone haywire.
Correct.
So what happens next?
So in times like that, it's your response that matters. Yeah. It's what do you do? Because we could easily say, well, you know, we've just wasted this trip and forget it. We're just going to go back home. So we said, well, there's got to be somebody here that we can talk to. Hmm. And so we ended up speaking to a Commissioner Molina, who essentially is over the traffic division for the Honduran National Police. And it was interesting because one of the things that we wanted to speak to him about was, is there a possibility for us to be able to meet with officers on a larger scale, more than just maybe one or two? While we were in his office waiting, the police chief had told him, you need to get there quickly to speak to these guys. So we actually ended up waiting about 45 minutes. In that time, sitting there, we were speaking to a couple of the admin ladies that worked there, and one just kind of said, would it be okay if she had a Bible? And so we said, well, absolutely, here's a Bible. And so we had an opportunity to witness to her at that time as well. And so Commissioner Molina comes, and within about a minute or two of speaking to him, he says, you know what would be really great is if you guys could speak to a lot of officers at one time. And we hadn't even gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
And so again, it was just clearly God putting the right person at the right time in the right place.
Yeah, when other people are giving you your own elevator pitch, you know that God's been stirring some things up.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to speak to him, and then he says, we explained that we were going to go to Roatan and things like that. And he said, well, I can have officers there at the airport waiting for you guys if you need a ride. We were like, well, that's great, because we didn't know where we were going. We fly to Roatan on definitely one of the smallest planes I've ever been on. And that was interesting, especially since I was about 5 inches from one of the pilots, and he looked like he was about 17. There was a lot of prayer on that flight. I can assure you that.
Kim, did he bother to let you know that flight was coming up, or did you find out about it afterwards?
Oh, no, I had no clue. He made sure to tell me that the pilot was sweating and shaking. And at one point, Eric asked him, you know, about it. And I guess he had to turn the plane a certain way coming in, because the plane would flip over.
But crosswinds, yeah. He had the, I don't know what the technical term in the aviation field is, but he had the stick as far to the right as he could, and his arms were locked out, and he was sweating and he was shaking, and the window was open, and he had just kind of said, yeah, if I don't do it like this, the plane will just flip over before it lands. That was interesting.
So you had a lot of angels sitting on the wings and holding that guy's arms over. Got you there safely.
Right.
What happens next?
So Lisa was there.
Okay.
And the awesome thing about Lisa is that she's actually from Texas and speaks fluent Spanish. The Lord had most definitely put her in our path at that time to essentially be our guide while we were there in Roatan. We didn't know where the place was that we would be staying. And she calls up the owner of the hotel that we stayed at, because she knew him, and said, I have your guests. I'm going to be bringing them by. It was awesome how the Lord just showed provision through logistics. Next day, I learned that Roatan has a municipal police department, and I had no idea that that existed. I said, well, let's go talk to them. She knows the police chief. His name is Joe Solomon. Many great things about Joe. One thing is that he speaks perfect English. And so I was really excited, because this would be the first time that I would get to share Christ and give testimony where I didn't need a translator. For those that haven't done that before, it can be very difficult, especially in terms of praying, when you're having to stop, allow a translation, and then you come back to it. And so it can be quite difficult to do that. So I was excited about that. So myself and Christopher, Lisa and Israel, go into Joe Solomon's office, and we're all, you know, full of the Spirit, ready to just tell the chief about Christ. And it was interesting too, because another brother had texted and said that he would be praying that Chief Solomon would be open to hearing about the Lord. And in about a minute or two of kind of telling him what we do, he pretty much busts out in a full sermon, because he's a pastor. And so, you know, we were just blown away. Here we thought we were going to come and minister to this guy, and he's ministering to us, and he's pouring into us and feeding into us. And, you know, at the time, we didn't quite understand what was going on, and we didn't really quite get what God was doing. But it was an awesome meeting with him, and we spoke for a long time, and could definitely see that he was a man of God and was filled with the Spirit and doing amazing things.
So, you know, you've got some spiritual compadres there. And he's somebody that obviously loves the Lord, and he's ministering back to you. Now, I've discovered with lots of mission trips before that it often is quite advantageous for these local pastors to have somebody who's come from a faraway place to pick up the baton for a while and do something that they've not been able to do effectively locally.
Right.
I understand that that kind of happened for you.
It was. It was very, very interesting. You know, we had brought numerous flashlights. We bring from hybrid light flashlights or solar lights, and they are amazing little lights, run off of solar power, and so they charge in the sun. And, you know, these officers that are in the mountains that don't have electricity don't need batteries for their flashlights. And they also have a little USB charger on them so that they can charge their phones.
Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. If you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you here at Compassion Radio. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There are also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults, and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book. And we'd love to send you a copy of it today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Call us right now at 800-868-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to come back again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.